Good morning, everybody. It's nice to see the sunshine, isn't it? It's lovely. Lovely. The Bible reading this morning is on pages 789 and 790 in the NIV Bible, and it's Jeremiah 29, verse 1, and then verses 4 to 14, and it's a letter to the exiles. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all. Those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon, build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease. Also, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back into this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Amen.
Let us pray together now. Lord, as Tim brings the word to us this morning, we pray that we may have open hearts, open minds, open ears to listen what you have to say through him. Just bless and use him. In your name we ask it all. Amen.
You consider the word in a way a little bit earlier than we would normally do, but that just gives us time to sort of then worship together and reflect and maybe a time of prayer afterwards. Actually, if I'd known it was going to be Chris reading the Bible reading this morning, I'd also got him to read verse 3, because it sort of says who the letter was entrusted to. This letter, it says, he entrusted the letter to Elisha, son of Shaphan, and to Jeremiah, son of Hilkiah, whom Zedekiah, king of Judah, sent to King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. So this is the letter we're looking at this morning, Jeremiah chapter 29, a letter from sort of Jeremiah to the exiles, but it contains a verse which many people take on board for themselves, and I'll get it the right way. Sort of take on board for themselves as a very helpful verse, maybe even a promise of God for themselves. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Who knows that verse? How many would include it maybe as one of their favourite verses? Yep, quite a few of us do. Great verse to take on board. But these words, as I say, are contained in a letter sent to the people of Israel who were in exile in Babylon. You know, the nation of Israel had sort of been formed, and they spent many years sort of occupying a land, the land of Canaan. That's the land that they moved into, and they lived in that land for many years. They had their ups and downs. Eventually, the nation of Israel actually split into two nations. The northern nation was invaded, and they were taken off into exile, and which left the southern part who remained for a while. But so part of the nation was taken off into exile in Babylon. They'd been there for a number of years. In the previous chapter to chapter 29, which is chapter 28, believe it or not, in the previous chapter we have the prophet Hananiah, who is prophesying that the Babylonian king would be defeated within 2 years and the exiles would come back to Jerusalem. Whereas Jeremiah, in his prophecy, is saying it would be 70 years. Who would you prefer to believe? Someone says it's going to happen in 2 years, or it's going to happen in 70 years. I think I would opt for the first one. If God was saying to me, I know the plans I've got for you, plans for hope and a future, but wait 70 years, I'd be saying, well, hang on, God, in 70 years, I might not be here. So, yeah, okay, I can see what hope and future I've got, but that doesn't help in the here and now. But it turns out, as when we read through Hananiah's prophecy, that it happened in 2 years, that was false, that was wrong. Jeremiah was the prophecy which came to fruition. But I wonder, Jeremiah was speaking to a nation, the nation in exile, he was talking to a group of people, you know, and God is saying to this group, I've got plans for you. Plans to give you a hope in the future, plans to prosper you. But can we take that promise and then sort of take it on board for ourselves? Would God say to that here to us here and now today? Well, I think we can, because if we just look at some New Testament verses, this is the writer Paul, and he makes in different letters he's writing to churches. He says these type of things. He says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. You know, so God loves us and he's working for our good. That would sound like he has a plan for us in a way to prosper us. He knows what's going on. Or Ephesians 2 verse 10, it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there's this sense that actually, you know, God is preparing us for things. There's situations in life which he knows that we're going to come across, we're formed in Christ to work out these things and to do good things. In Philippians it says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. So there's this general sense that when we're in Christ, when we're the people of God, he's working out things for us. He's purposing us. His will for us. And so, you know, I think we can take on board this fact that God has a good plan for our lives. The New Testament has this general sense that God has called us. He's even chosen us. That's what it says in the New Testament. He's chosen us and he has good purposes for us, and the ways in which he wants us to work out our faith in the way that we live our lives and the direction that we take. See, our life in God isn't just an aimless wandering. It's not an aimless wandering. God has purposes. He has his will for us. And he wants us to work that out by being with him and having that conversation with him and keep asking him, seeking him, Lord God, which way should I do? What should I do? What should I be doing? What's your purposes for me? And also, I believe that God has a plan that will prosper you. Now, that doesn't mean, when we say that God will prosper you, I don't think that means that you're going to necessarily win the lottery. I don't know if anyone did win last night, did they? 57 million? I don't know if anyone... No, I'm not talking about anyone here. But if you have, then there's a few things which need doing in the church at the moment. But yeah, 57 million, which was up for grabs last night. I'm not sure if anyone... they said people would win it one way or another. But when it says that God has got plans to prosper you, I don't think that's necessarily sort of saying loads of money and a grand design house that you can live in with all the things that you want in that sense. But it's about developing you as a person of faith and a person of love and actually a person of influence, a person of impact, so that where you are, that you can be a salt and light, yeah, as it says in the New Testament. He wants to prosper you in that way, that you'll be a person who makes a difference. You'll be a person of integrity, that you'll be a person that people can come to, that you'll be a person actually that people like to be in your company because you reflect something of the love of God. I think in that way he wants to prosper you. He wants you to be a person who, when life's trials and tribulations come along, that you can actually withstand those and bear them and even be an influence even when you're going through those difficult times. I think God has a plan so that you will be in the right place at the right time for other people. I think for those of you who know the Old Testament story of Esther, it's a great small book in the Old Testament to read. And this young girl, Esther, in the end, she ended up being in the right place at the right time. It's funny, it's not a story, it speaks a lot about God. But it's a story where God is behind the scenes. And in the end, she's in the right place in the right time. And, the Bible in that phrase says, for such a time as this, when she was needed, when she was called upon, and it's the only part of her life we see, really, when she was needed, she was in the right place in the right time. The Bible says, for such a time as this. And that was God's plan and purpose for her. And so I think we can claim the promise for ourselves that God has a plan for us, a good plan for us, a plan to prosper us, a plan to give us a hope, a plan to give you hope and a future. That's what our life in God is. And I believe it is also a plan for our church as well. All designs need a good plan. And I believe that God has a plan for this church which will prosper us and give us a hope and a future. This church, this congregation, it's had a great past. It's seen moments of glory. It's seen moments of grace. It's been blessed. But I believe that there are still even better days to come. I believe that God has a plan for us, to develop us, to grow us. It's a plan which is full of hope. Amen? Amen. Does that excite you? The past has been great, but that needs to be built on. I think God has his plan for us to continually be working out his plan for us as a church. And I just get excited when I think about all the possibilities that there are for this church. And I get even more excited when I think about the greatness of God who can actually bring these possibilities about. Don't you? God is great. And whereas we may see limitations, God doesn't see limitations. There are so many possibilities for us if we want to step out in faith and take hold of them. And however, I suppose it's, in some sense, it's like looking at a plan of a grand design house and sort of saying, well, yes, I'd love to move into that tomorrow. We can see all the possibilities. We have this plan of a grand design house and we want it built quickly. We want to move in and enjoy living. You know, when I think about the possibilities, I would love them all to happen tomorrow. I like all those things that God could do amongst us to happen tomorrow. And I think sometimes when we think about God's, when we talk about, well, God's got a plan for my life and he's got a plan to give me a hope and a future, most of us would hope that we could see that sort of coming together tomorrow. We sort of hope that God would do something tomorrow. We'd rather sort of hear Hananiah's prophecy that things would happen quickly. In her case, it's sort of saying happen in 2 years, rather than Jeremiah's that said it would come to pass in 70 years. Certainly for most of us, if we thought God's plan, as I said, was going to come to pass in 70 years, well, okay, where would we be? But I take this from these words in Jeremiah. Because what does Jeremiah say? Well, he sort of says, while you're waiting for God's plan to come to pass, get on with living. Get on with being a blessing to the community in which you find yourselves. In verse 7, he sort of says, seek the peace and the prosperity of the city for which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you will prosper. It would be easy for the exiles to become resentful against the city and the people that they were in which they were exiles. They could become bitter and angry people. I mean, if you were taken off into captive, if you were held in a strange situation, strange circumstances, it's easy to become bitter and angry, isn't it? But God is saying, actually, will make a difference where you are. And actually, it would seem that this was part of God's plan. It's part of God's plan for his people to be in this foreign land. As he says, this is the land in which I have carried you off into exile. And so this is really the first point I take from this passage. Because I think for some people, maybe, there's a danger for some people, in as much as that we believe that God has a plan for our lives. He's got the right job for us somewhere, in the right place, when we'd be doing his work and we'd be really fulfilled. But we sort of know that we have to wait. But we know it's out there somewhere. It's in God's timing. And we're looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to it. And we're looking forward to it. It's coming. One day I'll be just where God wants me to be. Yeah, I'll be doing his will. His plan will have worked out for me. And this is the plan where I really feel prospered. You know, I'll be speaking to people and maybe I'll be working for the church or something like that. And everything will come just right. I know the plan's out there somewhere. God's got this good plan for me. But then while we are waiting for that to sort of come into being, while we're waiting that to be fulfilled, if we're not careful, we become a bit resentful about our present circumstances. We start to not like the job that we are in. We start to not like the people that we are working with. They become sort of more and more annoying, and we become more and more dissatisfied with things as we wait for God's good and great plan to be revealed. When actually God wants us to get on with life and living and faith and praying for those that we are, in that sense, in exile with and seeking their good and their prosperity. God wants us to be wanting to bless the people that we are with now, those who are in our communities, where we're working with, those who are working with. He wants us to bless them and he wants us to bless us where we are. In a sense, God is wanting us to live with that kingdom positiveness, even when we are thinking that we are waiting for God's plan to be revealed and come to fruition. Does that make sense? I don't know if it rings true for anyone. You know, God was saying through Jeremiah, you know, I've got this plan for you group of people, and it's going to come into fruition. But it's In that sense, it's not yet. So while you're waiting, just get on with living and pray for the prosperity of the people in which you're living. Live out your life of faith. I mean, in this sense, in Jeremiah sort of, you know, carry on getting married and build your houses here. You know, just get on with life while you're waiting for this plan to be fulfilled. Don't become resentful and bitter about your current circumstances. And I think maybe sometimes for people in life, we're sort of thinking, God's got a plan for us. He's got an ideal for us. There's going to be something which can be fulfilled, but it's out there and I'm waiting for it to come. And we just spend so long, in a sense, waiting for it. And we become resentful about what's going on around us because God's plan isn't quite come to fruition yet. And God says, no, that's not the way it is. Live today. I've given you today. You'll be around people who I've placed in you, around you today. In a way, you may feel an exile in the place that you are. They're not people that you would normally be with, and they're not people you enjoy being around with. But God says that that's where you are. That's where I've placed you, and live out your life there. Don't spend all your time waiting for this plan to come into being. Because my plan is actually where you are today. So that's the first thing I think God says, live with this kingdom positive where you are today. Don't keep looking for a plan for the future. It is there, God is planning, but don't just spend all your time hoping for that and looking for it. Live today as well. And then the second thing this passage tells me is that actually at the root of God's plan is that people will seek him with all their heart. It says in verses 12 and 13, you know, when God says, I have a plan to prosper you, a plan for hope and a future. And he says, and then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And I think this is where God wants people to be. This is where he wants us to be. He wants us to seek after him. And I think, again, sometimes maybe we get carried away with seeking after God's plans and his purposes for us. We're sort of hungering and thirsting after those more than we hunger and thirst after God himself. We sort of chase with vigour the plans that God has for us. You know, we want those things to come into being, rather than chasing after and seeking after God himself. Yes, we want our lives to have meaning and purpose and achievement. We want them to be directed by God, and in that sense we want his plans to be working out. That's not a bad thing. But what we are to enjoy is God and who he is and his love for us and his relationship with us. That's what we should be enjoying, who God is. I think it's sometimes when we talk about spiritual gifts, that God gives us spiritual gifts. And again, some people can get, we say that some people get perhaps hang up about it, and actually they're seeking the gifts rather than the giver. You know, I want this gift, I want that gift, I want that gift. But that doesn't matter. Just seek after God and he will give the gifts that you need. It's God we need to seek after. So in all times that we're living and thinking about seeking God's plan to be worked out in our lives, don't forget the most important thing. And your most important thing is not God's plan for you, but God himself and your relationship with him, and that the love that he has for you, and just what he wants to speak to you about your value and your worth. As we seek after God, there's other things come into place. You know, the words of Jesus, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, given to you as you seek after him. So this is a great verse, you know, Jeremiah 29:11, where God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. It's great to know that God has those plans for us. This sort of grand design. But I would sort of throw two cautions then into that. One is, don't be so looking forward to the plans and the purposes that you become resentful about today. Live out today, because God's got the plan also for you today in the community in which you live. And don't be so intent on seeking out God's plan for you that you miss God himself. Then you'll call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And in relation to that, the Methodists often use a prayer of covenant on the often on their first Sunday in a year, or when they have their covenant service. And it's a prayer by John Wesley. And sort of puts this into context a little bit. where it's about focusing on and God and who he is. I think in some places they entitle it whatever. Probably nowadays in modern parlance that whatever perhaps still rings true. Where we say, I am no longer my own, but yours. Put me to what you will. Rank me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be employed for you or laid aside for you. Now, that was the line which in a way Cork, you know, so often we want to be in that plan, in that purpose. But this says, well, actually, if I'm just not doing anything, you know, if I'm not in a way out there doing it, if I'm just laid aside for you, just it's actually you, Lord God, who is important, exalted for you, or brought low for you. Let me be full, let me be empty, let me have all things, or let me have nothing. I freely and wholeheartedly yield all things to your pleasure and disposal. And now, glorious and blessed God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you are mine and I am yours. And in the covenant now made on earth, let it be ratified in heaven. Amen. In a sense, it's whatever, God, whatever your plan and your purpose is, I am yours. And you are mine. And I'm not going to get so focused on the plan that I miss the now. I'm not going to get so focused on that plan that I get resentful about the present. I'm not going to get so focused on that plan that I miss you, God. May we pray. Heavenly Father, when we look at programs like Grand Designs, people get so focused on certain things that they seem to miss the joy and the purpose all behind it. And Lord God, it's great to know that you have a plan and a purpose for our lives, that we are not walking aimlessly day by day. We know that you will place us in the right places at the right times. We know that for those who have been on this journey for a number of years, we can look back and see how your plan has worked out in our lives and how you've purposed us to be in certain places or to do certain things and to take certain roles. And we just want to thank you for that, Lord God, because we know that you are working through those things. And you have this plan and this purpose for us. But Lord, sometimes it may be that we can't see that big picture. Or we think it's somewhere in the future and we're longing after that, where we think everything will be good, everything will be rosy, we'll be fulfilled and we'll be doing your work. When actually, Lord God, you call us to the here and now and say, live for you in the here and now. And so we just pray that you help us to do that. And we pray that you will help us to seek you, enjoy you, enjoy our relationship with you, and be obedient to you. Whatever the future holds, may we seek you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we just enjoy some moments of worship, reflection. You might want to, I think that prayer is actually inside on living with the Word, that that prayer is written on there for one day this week, and you might want to think about that as we worship together, and just respond as God leads you to.